Thank you. We always begin the class with the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan. So with palms pressed together, we'll say the prayer. Those that aren't familiar, just listen and let the words wash over your heart. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance. So all those holy beings, whether known or unknown to us, they form men, women, nature, spirits. Spirit is in everything. It forms the embodiment of the Master, which is the spirit of guidance, that if we tune to it, it will guide us on our path. And since we're talking about the secret to attainment, or the secret path to attainment, we invoke those beings, and you invoke those that you feel especially close to sit here with us and uplift us and open us and inform us in our time together. So I will be offering teachings mostly from Hazrat Inayat Khan, and this is a subject that he taught on called The Path of Attainment. And this section is called The Secret of Attainment. So hopefully we'll take something from this. I'll give you all, the people that are in my study group, I'll give you some directives to study throughout the month and practices to take up. And anyone else that may be with another teacher or without a teacher, you can feel free to also join. But with a teacher, it is always respectful to confer with your guide so that you make sure that the practice is in harmony with what you're working on with that guide. So be mindful and respectful of that as well. So, again, towards the one. There's a quote by Inayat Khan that says, "The secret of all attainment is in analyzing the self." And we know, we've been in this caravan together for a while, that Murshid, we refer to our teacher as Murshid, talks about this in so many of his teachings. It's about, he talks about knowing thyself, being true to thyself, understanding ourselves. And here he's saying analyzing the self. You're sort of looking deeply into our intentions, our motivations, and perhaps especially our aspirations. So now we're into the teaching, and he starts like this. In the path of attainment, confidence is necessary. When I was teaching, the people in the bookstore had asked some of the professors, what was your favorite children's book? And I said, it was The Little Red Engine That Could. On my first day of school, I started kindergarten when I was 4 years old. My grandmother on my father's side came to greet me. It was about a 30-minute drive, but she came to see us before I went to school. And she brought that book, The Little Red Engine That Could. And she read that book to me. And she did that as a lesson to say, you have to have confidence to succeed. You have to have confidence to take this next step. And if you know that little book, the little red engine's going up this hill, it's trying so hard, and it's repeating the mantra to itself, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And then at a certain point, it says, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. So it's that, having confidence, it's necessary on the path of attainment. It's according to one's confidence that the object of attainment is drawn closer. So I was thinking about just some ordinary examples that happened to me in life, and you too, I'm sure. What about, have you ever misplaced your keys and you're looking frantically everywhere for them, and when you stop looking for them, they appear? Things somehow materialize and come closer to us. Of course, there's a deeper meaning to this, but that's a very ordinary way. Or you're thinking about somebody and you wish to reach out to them, the phone rings. So the way of drawing that closer to us. And then Murshid says this, that confidence is necessary and confidence in concentration on the object. But he says, it is not by overenthusiasm. And this is so important, I think, because he goes on to say, for overenthusiasm is intoxicating. And so, well, we'll go on. I'll make commentary as we go on, because I think it's, these sentences are so rich and potent that I want to make commentary. A person intoxicated by enthusiasm is liable to do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. So we want to, again, be mindful, just taking a moment, a breath. Should I take this step? I mean, I've mentioned this many, many times, observation of the breath. I use this, I will say, often in making decisions that I maybe feel ambiguous about. I'll ask myself a question, whether I should go forward with something in that moment, because sometimes that moment isn't the right moment, but another moment is. I'll consult my breath. The right nostril is giving me a positive, affirmative, yes, go forward. The left nostril is telling me to wait. And so you look at that. If it's in both nostrils, then it for sure you want to wait until it shifts and you get a clear sign. So those things are very important. They're what I like to call practical mysticism. And then Murshid says to us this, it is always the inner power which is the secret of attainment. When I think of this, this has to do with concentration and sort of the alignment of divine will with our will, aligning our will with divine will, seeking that connection, that harmony. And I also thought about it in terms of yoga, or in terms of anything. We know that a yogi gains their strength by holding an asana, a posture. That is a kind of concentration, a willfulness. Again, that's not over-enthusiastic, you know, gymnastics or aerobics is quite different, but this puts a little stress on the body but makes it stronger by doing so. It is always the inner power, that inner concentration, which is the secret of attainment. It is the conserving of this power which makes a reservoir of power with which all things can be accomplished. Because Jalal is here, I want to share with you some wisdom that Murshid Karim Bash gave me. Murshid Karim Bash was a great master, both in his career and in his Sufi life. He was minister of finance in the Netherlands. He was a scholar of economics. He was one of the founding members of the International Monetary Fund. And he also was one of the architects for the European Union and the Euro. And Karima Gita then, now Gemma, had the privilege of being with me one afternoon in Murshid Karim Bash's home while he told us about this process of him working with all these different people to get an agreement to become the European Union and to have a common currency. Well, that takes a lot, that is the path of attainment. And he had the patience and the calm demeanor and the listening ear. And he always reminded me to keep that balance between my activity and repose. Those of you that know me know I'm a little bit of an energizer bunny. And he saw that and he would sort of say, you know, just balance. But he never discouraged me. But what I'm saying, he just conveyed a kind of calmness and also an example of great mastery in that calmness. So I wanted to share that. I'm sure, Jalal, you have many stories that are similar. So Murshid goes on to say, the person who has attained to the mystery of sadhana, and of course you probably know that this is the word for that we use in Hindu, but we also use this in other languages and paths, and it means like a spiritual discipline or diligence to spiritual practice. And when he, I'll go back The person who has attained to the mystery of sadhana, there is nothing in the world which cannot be accomplished. Nothing. There's nothing in the world that cannot be attained or accomplished. For spiritual discipline, So there's nothing in the world that cannot be attained, for all is within our reach, our power, and our grasp. Wow, that's a big promise. But Murshid's telling us, if you do the practices and do them with purpose, do them with concentration, there's nothing that cannot be accomplished. I really believe that. I hope you do too. As high as our object, so high we rise, and as low as our object, so low we stand. He goes on to explain, if the object or the object of attainment, or we could say the goal, if the goal is honor giving, we will be honorable. If the object is painful, one will be sad. I'm going to come back to that in a moment because I think that's important. It's all important, but I want to clarify. If the object is is pleasant, one will be joyful and joyous. If the object is exalting, one will be holy. So what's this about? If the object is painful, one will be sad. Just think in your own life, because I'm sure we all have examples of when we coveted something that maybe wasn't really to be ours, but we worked very hard to get it just the same. And then sometimes such things, it could be in a relationship, it could be in travel, it could be in a spiritual attainment, it could be in our education, whatever that is. But if we take it up and it's not truly ours, it can lead to, let's say, disappointment, disillusion, and those things are certainly painful. So I think here Murshid is cautioning us to, again, be mindful of what we seek to attain. And we need to take a moment and pause and think of that. And then he concludes this paragraph by saying, therefore, a person should know what object to keep before one's view, what object one should pursue in life. So what is that? And the truth is there are many objects. There are small things that build, and we know that. That's called growth. That's called evolution. That's called maturity. And when we look back, I'm reading a book, I think I've mentioned it before, by John O'Donohue. And this was sent to me by a friend, a student in England. And you know, that was a year ago, because my birthday was on September 7th. I'm still reading the book, because it is that worth it that I read just a little bit every day and concentrate on it. But he's talking, and now I'm getting towards the very end, and he's talking about old age and how we cope with that and our memories and how we use them. And so, it's a time for some of us to be reflecting on our life. And we can see the objects that we sought to attain that brought great benefit, perhaps not only to ourselves, but our families, our friends, our colleagues, our employees, our students, and so forth. So it's a good time to reflect and to celebrate, and maybe for some even to repent a little bit. So the process of attainment, there are four stages. And for people in our study circle, please go back. You know that I always post the study guide. And think about these four stages, because what I'm going to ask you to do is, through this class and afterwards, consider something that you'd like to focus on to attain. Now, I'm going to give you some very practical examples because I think they're helpful. Maybe that is mindfulness in your sleeping habits, or mindfulness in your eating habits, or mindfulness in your exercise habits. Okay, and I'll try to give you examples of each. So these are very foundational, maybe we could consider them mundane practices, but that build something within our character that we can apply to other things. So the first, in the first place on these four stages, the object one wishes to attain must be concrete in one's mind. So pick one and stay with it. Don't go be over enthusiastic like Mercia says, oh, maybe I'll do this, oh, maybe I'll do this. Pick one and stick with it. Okay, so get it very firm in your mind and work towards some goal. Now maybe it's eating a really healthy farm-to-table meal, even if it's just one a week. And that's a good example, and I'll use it for the rest of these teachings. And then next he says, it must be reasoned out how the desire can be materialized. Well, okay, I'd like to fix for myself and my family one really good, healthy, organic meal that we can all enjoy. Maybe I'll learn something from that and do that more in the future. And then you have to say, but how can I make that desire materialized? Okay, I need to make a plan every week when I have the time to do that, and I'll make that part of my plan. And the third is what materials to be obtained to use it. So we have to go to the market to buy the things to make this beautiful, sumptuous meal. And then that's it. The third one is the material to be obtained to and used for it. And the fourth is the composing or building of the object. In this instance, it's a meal once a week. But we could do that with exercise. Say, I'd like to increase my exercise 30 times. Again, I'm giving you very practical examples because it helps to do practical things. I'm going to increase my exercise 30 minutes a day. Well, that seems monumental. But how about 10 minutes, three times a day? I'm going to get up a little earlier and do it. I'll make sure I do it after I eat in the evening. And during lunchtime, I'll take a little walk. Okay? Very practical. Keep it straight. Keep to the task. When we look at, you know, those of us, I know Savitri is a performer. She was a primo dancer. I mean, she was a prima ballerina and danced with dance companies all over the world. And she didn't get there just by a wish and a prayer. She got there by starting very small, learning the skill set, learning the basic stances, practicing, holding her positions, learning to draw, dance on point, making the transition into modern compositions and choreography. So these things, a great musician isn't just, I'm going to concentrate on being a musician and all of a sudden I'm that. No, they first start with their scales, with the metronome. And then slowly they build up. They play other wonderful compositions while they're building the skills, and maybe then eventually they start to write their own. So you can see that this path of attainment can be applied to our education, but also our everyday life. And really it can be applied to our spiritual path. I think Murshid's indicating that here. So he says, the one who knows their own affairs and who accomplishes them rightly fulfills the mission of their life and the wish of God. And the wish of God. The one who knows their own affairs and who accomplishes them rightly fulfills the mission of their life and the wish of God. To thine own self be true. In the path of attainment, self-analysis is what's needed, Murshid said. So no matter what one accomplishes, it is only a step towards something else. So again, maybe I could give an example of a physician, someone that's studying to be a doctor. Well, of course he has to take all these classes, first starting with undergraduate, then he has to go through medical school, then he does his internship and practicums and so forth. Well, that's the goal, but what happens in the meantime is all of the things that that person learns adds to their basis of wisdom and their understanding of the world. It also develops a discipline, because doctors have to be very disciplined to study and to be able to concentrate and absorb what they're studying. But what else comes along? So we learn to maybe manage our time. We learn to study and become very good students so we can become good doctors. But we also gain in our compassion and our empathy. These are other things that get developed along the way. So it's not just one thing. There are many things that are accomplished along this path of attainment. And then, let me find my, get back to myself. The one who knows their own affairs and accomplishes them rightly fulfills the mission of their life and the wish of God. No matter what one accomplishes, it is only a step towards something else. And I just gave the example of the doctor. As a person goes on accomplishing the path of attainment, in the end, they arrive at the purpose of their life. In the end, they arrive at the purpose of their life. So don't be too much in a hurry. Enjoy that journey. In the final attainment lies the purpose of all souls, although in the beginning they may seem different. So clearly, we are also different here, and we're living our lives in a certain way, and we have certain goals, and the truth is we have different purposes. It's all part of the realization of God. And so, you know, I've given that analogy, so here's the, let's say this is the embodiment of God. And when we're given this precious human life, we are like these different beings that are coming out from this one source, these rays. And how appropriate is that we are given our own special purpose. And what are we doing? You know, Pierre Valiant always said, we're helping God realize God's self through this. And it's as if we're each given a beautiful needle and a thread, and we're each asked to weave that needle and thread into this amazing tapestry of humanity and life. And so my needle and my thread, it's going to likely be very different than anyone else here, but it's up to me to understand that, just like it's up to you to each understand it. So concentrate on that and ask the Spirit of guidance, what is my purpose? And as I said, it will change at each stage of life. Again, Murshid repeats, the secret of attainment is in the realization of the self. Both the impulse to attain is a thing, this is very important, and the control of the impulse is necessary. It gets back to this example of Murshid Karim Bash. You know, he had this vision, but he didn't force or drag everyone along into it. He worked slowly with it, so he had the impulse and the inspiration, you know, for the European Union and so forth. But he had the control to help that come into realization by managing conversations and getting people to understand the true purpose. So it wasn't just this impulse, hey, isn't this a great idea? Everybody sign up for it. No, it was like slow and steady wins the race. I like that saying, slow and steady wins the race. So very often a person loses a chance of attaining something over their over-enthusiasm, which puts their life out of balance. So, oh my God, I see that all the time here, you know. Everyone comes to the beach and all of a sudden they're an athlete. And you know what? They hurt themselves. That's a small example, but it's a very real one. They decide they're gonna go run this much, they're gonna lift these weights, they're gonna blah, 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 blah. And you know what? They hurt themselves. So that's a very concrete example. But also, when we're not slow and steady, nurturing the impulse and giving balance for it to mature, we may lose hope. We may, like the little red engine going up the mountain, you know, he was huffing and puffing. If he had slid back a little ways, he might have just given up altogether and gone right to the bottom. But no, he kept trying, slow and steady, so that control. It's kind of like, Murshid also gives that example, the Buddha as well, of tuning an instrument. You know, if the string is too slack, the sound doesn't come. If it's too tight, the string breaks. If it's just right, you get the right sound. But that's through this control and a kind of tension that one uses. So think about that. You know, watch that internal impulse. breathe into it and let it mature. At the same time, the power of impulse is a great power, and the person who has no strength in their impulse will certainly lose. So again, it's something that has to be nurtured and strengthened within. And of course, I believe our practices do that for us. I just don't know how to say it any other way. It's always been that way my whole life. Just always leaned into prayer and silence and just feeling the presence of God supporting me, especially in very, very difficult times. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have that. I feel very blessed. Thank you, God, for everything. So at the same time, the power of impulse is a great power, and the person who has no strength in their impulse will certainly lose. One should strike a balance between impulse and control. It's a kind of appropriate tension. It's like when we sit in a meditative pose, there is a kind of tension there, you know, and yet we should relax into it like we're, you know, like the great mountain, stable. So offering stability to that impulse. And he repeats again, there must be an impulse, but it must be under control. He said that 3 times in this paragraph in different ways. So I think I'm preaching to the choir. You all know this, but maybe someone tuning in later will pick something up. Now I'd like to work with 2 practices. One's called Kadir, and one's called Muktadir. Muktadir. Kadir. They always do the little bit of rr. Maybe one of our friends that speaks the language can help us with that, Kareem or Senna. But it's Kadir, a little roll, not a rr, not a big one. And and I love Muktadir because it's got this little hop or skip in it, like a little jump. So it's Muktadir. And I want to talk about them individually first, and I'd like for us to do these practices individually, and then we'll do them in tandem. And those in this study circle, maybe consider doing that at least for part of the month, working with the one practice, then the other, and then in tandem every day. So what is Kadir? It's divine power, and more than that, it's divine empowerment. So it's this empowerment that comes through this divine source into us. And it gives us the feeling that real strength in the universe is one, and everything in the universe is interconnected, and thereby that power is also including us, and we are part of that power, and it lives in and through us. This divine quality means it gives meaning and purpose to everything in life. It's like it makes everything alive. It empowers everything. And if we tune into that, we can feel that. You know, when we do our purification breaths, we're doing that. The purification breaths, I inhale divine light and life. And I radiate divine life and light. We're doing that. We're empowering ourselves every day with that practice to feel divine light and life, and to also give it back again. That's part of our purpose and goal too, that hopefully when we go about our day, we radiate that to others and they feel it. The realization of Al-Qadir brings a great confidence that all things are possible. And Al-Qadir, or Qadir, is the natural expression of power, listen to this, power, spaciousness, and endurance. Who doesn't want more of that in their lives? Power, spaciousness, and endurance. This divine quality gives meaning and real purpose to everything in life. Everything. I don't know about you, but I got a closet in there that I need to get working on. I've been working on it a little bit, but this might be a good practice to get me completely cleared out so the secondhand store can benefit from a lot of things. But I say that in jest, but yet again, chop wood, carry water, do dishes, wax on, wax off. You know, these are Zen koans. But it's true. We can bring meaning and purpose to everything if we can bring a wazifa, a prayer, a mantra, you know, bring mindfulness to it. Then it becomes your practice and not just a duty or responsibility. When we truly surrender to Al-Qadir, we are able to do our utmost capacity what wisdom requires to fulfill our destiny. Wow, to fulfill our destiny? How amazing is that? I want some of that. I'm willing to do this practice. So let's do this practice. We'll say it just 11 times aloud, and then we'll pause for a moment. And while we're doing this, consider this power and spaciousness and endurance that is wisdom. We're invoking that wisdom that is required to fulfill our destiny. How amazing is that? What a great gift this sacred name is. Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir. Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Qadir. And now we're going to whisper. Feel with your breath as we breathe in, Qadir, and out, Qadir, that every cell, every molecule of your being is feeling this power, this spaciousness, and this endurance, and that it's enlivening in us this divine impulse to be actualized as our destiny. Let everything become alive and sing this beautiful name with our, while we're singing it with our voice. Qadir. And now on the in-breath, more subtle, take it to more subtle places within your being and within your energy field around you. Just breathe in silently, Qadir, and out, Qadir. Ya Qadir. Notice how you feel, how your body feels, your thoughts and your feelings. Pay attention. Now to the next part of this practice, Muktadir. Muktadir, it's kind of like, a, like I said, when I say it or I hear it, it sounds like a little skip. It gives you a little lift. Al Muqtadir is the divine determiner, the one who is empowered to do whatever wisdom decides. So it's like Qadir is one aspect of it. It gives us the power and the spaciousness and endurance. In other words, it opens us, and Muqtadir empowers it to like be. Remember when we said kun bismillah, kun be. The one who has the power and the ability to decide. So this is Muqtadir, the quality, divine quality of Muqtadir. It's not us, but the divine quality of Muqtadir is the one who has the power and the ability to decide the outcome of all matters. So this also requires a bit of surrender on our part. And each soul, each of us, is unique. Remember that. We're this one beautiful thread that's getting woven into this amazing tapestry of humanity. And we each have a unique purpose in life. And that is the meaning of Muqtadir. So let's do that practice 11 times aloud. Then we'll pause. And then we'll whisper. And then we'll pause. And we'll just kind of listen to that sound from within. Ya Muqtadir, 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 Ya Muqtadir. And now we whisper it in and out, sort of feeling that you can see that that has a little bit of the quality of Qadir in it. It ends kind of with Qadir, Muqtadir. It has some sounds that are seed sounds that are the same. So from this spaciousness, we have this unique purpose in life that we may take up. So we're going to whisper now, just with Muqtadir, Muqtadir, now we're just going to breathe this sacred name in and let it breathe us as well, feeling it circulating within every fiber of our being, singing and chanting this sacred name. Now let's do these two in tandem with each other, one after another. And again, opening, being empowered through Muqtadir, and opening to our divine destiny with Qadir. We open, let me repeat. Qadir opens us and empowers us, brings about power and spaciousness and endurance on this path of attainment. And Muqtadir is the thing that helps to determine our destiny, our purpose, that object of attainment. So they work together, and we'll begin with Ya Qadir, Ya Muqtadir, Ya Qadir, Ya Muqtadir, Ya Qadir, Yamuktadir. Yakar. 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 Yamuktadir. And now, on a whisper, we breathe in, God, and we breathe out, Muktadir. God, Muktadir. God, Muktadir. God, Muktadir. God, Muktadir. God, Muktadir. God, Muktadir. Now breathe in, Kadir, and out, Muktadir, letting the sound hum and swirl within your being and around, drawing those qualities to yourself. So just to paraphrase, these working together is Al-Qad makes you aware of the cosmic power behind all purposeful activity. And Muktadir puts our feet on the path of a particular activity that we need to fulfill our purpose. And it's a process of discovery and fulfillment that recognizes and embodies divine strength and purpose. Murshid teaches us, God is divided on earth into different beings and reunites in one being. A friend of mine wrote me today, her mother has been ill for a very long time with cancer, and she said she finally drew her last breath. And it's of course such a sad thing to lose one's mother, or husband and wife, dear friend. But on the other hand, this idea of reuniting, the idea that the soul gets to be reunited in the one being, so it travels back on its path, back to that source, on its ray, back to the ultimate sun. So God bless Margaret, and God bless Cynthia and Judy, her sister, both. The real object of all people on earth is the same as the object of God in heaven. Wow, the real object of all the people on earth is the same as the object of God in heaven. But this object can only be attained if we yield up our desire to the desire of God. So again, analyzing oneself and being able to keep this impulse in control, and perhaps loosen the will so that that God purpose can come through us. If we're willing to give up ourselves to the self of God, that's so important. if we're willing to give up ourself to the self of God. That's the real meaning of crucifixion. To crucify the lower self, the base self, the ego self. To loosen that part of our will so that we can fall into this beautiful embrace of the divine will for us. The person who does not know their own mind cannot help others. Such a person only upsets them. Such a person can neither attain for their self nor can they help another. One should therefore remember continually to keep one's mind so clear that one can see one's object before one, to see its character, its nature, its value, and then to exert effort to pursue that object patiently till one has attained it. No matter how small the object, the attainment of it builds a step towards the final goal. So there's nothing unimportant, me going and cleaning out my closet, or doing the dishes, or bathing the dog, or walking the dog, or whatever, doing the laundry. All those small things brought into mindfulness, they're beautiful. They can become beautiful prayer. The balance should be kept, and I'm almost finished here, right now we're coming upon our hour. The balance should be kept by realizing that nothing which the earth can offer is more precious than one's soul. So maybe that's a good question to ask. Or when we take up a decision to do something, is this precious? Is this effort worth my soul? Is it going to feed the soul, nurture it, help it grow, and become its true purpose and destiny on earth, we could say. From the one who runs after things, those things run away. Now, we know that's true. We've seen that in relationships, I'm sure, of other activities that we grasp at. We've all, I'm sure, been sitting in a garden and we've seen a beautiful butterfly and we want to get up and go look at it. And what does it do? It flits away. But if we sit calmly, what does it do? It often will come near us, and sometimes it even sits on our hand, our shoulder, sometimes our head, my nose, eyes. It's happened. So just, you know, that patience in observation. From the one who runs after things, those things run away. But the one who does not run in pursuit of the object, it will find that inevitably it will become their own. So again, this has to do with controlling the impulse and not getting too overly enthusiastic and exhausted by doing so. When God becomes one's own, what will not become one's own, or should ask? And I put at the very end, and there are a few more things, if you wish me to go a little bit, 5-7 minutes longer, there's some like an addendum to this that I've added, and so I could just get a little wave of hands, not right now, because I do want to read this prayer that Murshid gives us at the end of the healing breaths. And again, the healing breath, breathing in, I inhale divine light and life, and breathing out, I radiate divine life and light. We won't do that whole practice. I think all of you know it. If any of you want those instructions, I'm happy to share them with you. But there's this prayer that Murshid gives at the end. And we do the healing breath, the Nayaz, at the end. But also, he concludes with this prayer. And I'm going to read it, and it's on the breath, a breathing in and a breathing out. So I'll read the lines, line by line. Let's breathe in together. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. And breathe out. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Breathe in. I live, move, and have my being in God. Breathe out. And nothing of the past or present has power to touch me. I rise above all. So here's that thing. I've come from the perfect source, and I'm bound to the perfect goal. this divine ray has come to earth, and on that I will return back to that perfect goal. The light of the perfect being, that light of the divine is hidden in my soul. And here Murshid's saying, on the path of attainment, we need to get in touch with that light and actualize it and give it to the world. It's a gift. We're each a gift that we can share in this world. I live, move, and have my being in God. If we keep our mind there, we do. Our concentration there. And nothing of the past or present has power to touch me. I rise above all. So everything that's come before us, it cannot hold you back. You can rise. We can rise above all. And I got this little prayer book. Joe, maybe you gave it to me. I don't know. It came into my hands. I think it's the prayer. I'm looking ahead. Again, this is a mirror behind me, so Joe isn't sitting behind me. He's ahead of me there. I just don't want people to think I've made my husband sit behind me. I think it's the little Combat to Prayer or something was the title of it. It's just this little book, but I've been reading through it, and I love, there's so many beautiful little quotes, so I'll share them. Is that okay? A few more minutes is okay with everybody? Okay, so this is one. This is a beautiful quote. Mental prayer. Again, I'm talking about bringing mindfulness and path of attainment into everything. Mental prayer is the blessed furnace. Doesn't this sound like Rumi, Senna, wherever you are, tell me. Mental prayer is the blessed furnace in which souls are inflamed with the love of God. Mental prayer is the blessed furnace in which the souls are inflamed with the love of God. How beautiful is that? And then another thing on mental prayer, just keeping the prayer going. Mental prayer is a form of prayer whereby one loves God through dialogue, meditating on God's words, and the contemplation of God's presence. It's a time of silence focused on God. This is, we could call this sadhana, which Murshid mentioned in this teaching. It's a form of sadhana. And then here's another one, and I love these quotes. They're so precious. What matters in prayer is not what we do, but what God does to us in those moments. The essential act of prayer is to place oneself in God's presence and to remain there. The presence, which is that of the living God, is active. It's vivifying. Murshid in our healing prayers talks about revivifying. Well, vivifying, it's energizing, it's cleansing, it's uplifting. The presence, which is that of the living God, is active, revivifying. It heals and sanctifies us. It heals and sanctifies us. We cannot sit before a fire without getting warm. So it gives warmth and a glow to us. And Murshid said it this way. Mastery lies merely in stilling the mind. No, mastery, let me start again. I've totally mixed up that line. Mastery lies not merely in stilling the mind. So it's not this vacant lot, so to speak. Mastery lies not in merely stilling the mind, but in directing it towards whatever point you desire, the path of attainment. Oh, and I found this little quote last time when I was going to offer it. And I thought, you know, because sometimes you think, well, I have to do something really grand. You know, I have to start an organization, or I have to do, no. Doing things in small ways, you know, in my travels, I know that there are these places where it is said that, you know, a person sat and just radiated their atmosphere. And that now has become a holy site of pilgrimage. They weren't doing anything. They were just being and sitting in the presence of God. So this is so important to take a few moments every day to do this. And no matter what is happening to us, to see what God's purpose is in it. Because sometimes, you know, I have to say, as one ages and changes the their venues and changes their careers and changes from not having a career. You know, those are all things that we question our purpose. But I love Dalai Lama because he always has some humor to bring into it. And he says it this way: if you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. Okay, so, you know, anyway, there's a great story of Dalai Lama with his brother, who's now deceased, Thaxter Rinpoche, the elder brother. And the Thaxter Rinpoche lived in Bloomington, Indiana. He taught at the university and had a Tibetan cultural center there. But he was visiting in India, and of course, he was so troubled by the mosquitoes. And Dalai Lama said, even they need to eat. So, you know, what compassion that soul has. One more thing. I had a beautiful thing. Again, it was last month that came to me. It seemed pertinent, and I wanted to share it with you. It's from my Naqshbandi friends in New Delhi, and this is from the Saeed Kashif Ali, and he's the son of Pir Saeed Javed Ali Naqshbandi. And it says, remember that every day, because this has to do with the path of attainment, remember that every day you get to, or we get to, complain or be grateful, blame others or work on ourselves, feel fears or feed our dreams, feed our fears or feed our dreams, speak badly of others or bless them, give up or try again. I think I can, I think I can, I know I can, I know I can. Think of the worst or think of the best. Follow the world or follow your heart. Meditate and love. Thank you, all of you, for your time and your attention. We're going to close with the Khatum and the dedication of merit. I want to give a public service announcement. We've been going through different iterations. If the teachings mean anything to you, if you could consider making some small contribution, if it's a lot of people making small ones, it matters. They've raised our web hosting service that we've had since 2007 three times more this year. I asked them why. I said, we're a nonprofit. They're giving us the best rate they can. Their answer to me was, it's in keeping with the cost of web hosting overall. So their prices were quite low, and they really had never raised them since 2007. They consider us, because we were kind of one of their first clients, a legacy client, so they've promised me, they're giving me the best price, and they will do everything to keep it at that price for me. They're also giving me unlimited space on the server, which is precious. They're not limiting any of that for our Sufi message group. The other thing that's happened is, and you all probably got a misfire when we were our hosting service for our mailings decided, and they gave us only 1 month to move to another hosting service. I think they merged, but it happened that service did not work well for us, and it wasn't very user friendly. So I did a lot of calling around, talking with a lot of people that provide these services, and it's more expensive. They're giving us nonprofit, but all of it costs. So I guess we could just stop everything and not have any more web stuff or any more mailings or any more classes. But if it matters to you and you benefit in any way, just please consider knowing that. I think that's also gone up, Gemma. You, as on the board, have been in those conversations, and Joe, has that also gone up almost 4 times? So we've had a large increase this year. So, and even if you give, just give $2 more, it would matter. It would really help us out, and it would keep these teachings going forward. And I just wanted to get that in before we do our closing prayer. Thank you, Murshid, for these teachings. Thank you, all the holy beings that informed Murshid's being and that inspires us on a day-to-day basis, whether you're seen or unseen. you're here with us, guiding us on this path of attainment. And we'll close with the, well, first let me offer the dedication of merit, that if these practices have been of benefit to anyone in this circle, please let these blessings go out that are not from any one of us, but from the blessings of these teachings, go out in ever widening circles, touching all beings, and may all beings be free and happy. And we close with the prayer Khatum. Again, if you don't know the words, just close your eyes and let the words wash over you. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Take the sacred syllables that we've just said or you've just heard from your heart. Blow them into your hand as if filling your palms of your hand with light, empowerment, and purpose, and offer that as a blessing over your being and all those that you know and love.